We'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelovitz for sponsoring this morning's locks. And Le'ilui Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba, Levi Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yoshua ben Shimon Dov, their neshama should have an aliyah. We got a brand new Mishnah ahead of us. Chapter 4, Mishnah 6. The title for today is Honoring Torah. We'll see how the Mishnah is going to get there. There's going to be a lot of nice lessons to be learned from the Mishnah and the commentators. So let us jump in. Source number one, Rabbi Yossi Omer. I have two source number ones, apologize for that, but the first source number one, the original number one, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Mechabed Es HaTorah, Gufo Mechabed Al HaBrios. Anybody who honors the Torah, how would you translate this now? Gufo Mechubad Al HaBrios. What's his guf?
Body.
His body. Okay, that's going to be strange. Let's think about that. His body will be honored by Al HaBrios by the people. So his body will be honored by the people. So presumably by body we mean himself, right? But the fact that it says gufo, it uses his body, which seems to be a strange choice here. Are we talking about his physical body? Something to think about as we go on. Gufo mechubad al habriyo. So somebody who honors the Torah, he himself will be honored by people. Now, also question. Is our goal to be honored by people?
No.
No. So we have to think for a second. What's the message of the Mishnah, right? The starting point of just saying, oh, if I honor Torah, then I will be honored by people. It just seems out of whack from what we're... It's not negative, right? It's not a bad thing. But it requires further elaboration and analysis as to what exactly the message is. And then the Mishnah goes to the inverse of... Right. Correct. Okay, so we'll elaborate. B'chol ha-mechalel es ha-Torah, if you desecrate, dishonor the Torah, gufo mechulal al abrios, you yourself will be dishonored by others. So basic, before we get fancy and delve in, basic idea here is if you honor Torah, you'll be honored. You dishonor Torah, you will not be honored. You will be mechulal, dishonored. So now, what do you think? This is really the primary question. What does it mean, practically speaking, to honor the Torah? Honoring Torah. What are my possibilities? Rabbi Shaloni says to stand up. Stand up for the Torah. Okay, that's one option. Do mitzvos. Okay, two options. Okay, to honor Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbanim, option three. What else? Honoring Torah. Standing, mitzvos, Rabbanim. Honoring Sfarim. Okay, good.
Making a
siyum. Yes, so what do you mean by making a siyum?
The purpose of a siyum is it's not just for your own accomplishment, but it's to say, this was important, what we learned, this whatever it was. This is a very important thing, and we're giving honor to what we studied.
Okay, so doing a siyum, so we'll have to elaborate on that exactly, but we're giving honor to the learning of Torah. Rachel says just learning Torah itself maybe is considered honoring Torah. That would be the opposite, right? So scoffing at the Torah would be dishonoring the Torah, yeah?
To live according to all the laws in the Torah.
Okay, to live according to the laws. Okay, good. Now, the question, though, is that if you have such an expansive view, like following all the mitzvot, which I'm not saying is wrong, it seems like a strange way of formulating. Like, if you perform, again, I should have said, if you perform the mitzvot. If you perform the mitzvot, that's good for you. If you don't perform the mitzvot, it's not good for you. That's a pretty standard idea. So I think we might have to, because of that, delve into a little bit more specifics. The broad answer of just following Torah, I'm not sure it's going to fit. I think it's a good hypothesis. We'll have to see if it fits within the reading here. One more, and then we're going to go. Yeah.
I'm just thinking in terms of last week's Mishnah.
Ah, look at that. Look at that. Thinking in terms of last week's Mishnah. I like it. Okay? That's one of the things that we do here. We try to analyze the Mishnah on its own, and then we always want to look at it in terms of context. Okay, so what was last week?
Last week was the Torah for the purpose of emphasis of making money.
Okay, good. Don't use the Torah for money. Make money.
This kind of follows from, like, don't denigrate the Torah and make it just my job, my source of income. It's something higher than that, something more respectable than that.
Okay, so maybe this Mishnah is piggybacking off of last week's Mishnah and saying that don't use the Torah for your own purposes, honor the Torah on its own. Okay, so guys, you basically just gave the entire shir. We're done. So the truth is we've covered most of the explanations. As you'll see, we're going to delve in, have a little more depth and a little more meat to the answers. But we're basically covering, this is what the commentators say, Mechabed Torah means almost everything that you guys just said. So what does it mean to honor your parents? There's a lot of things, but I wouldn't make the jump to say that, you know, look at Kibud Av V'Em and now same thing here. But your point is that it's complex. We have to, and that's what we really want to do, is that what's falling under the rubric of honoring the Torah? What's considered giving honor to the Torah? So let's start with Rashi. Again, we covered the basic framework of what we're going to do. There's going to be a lot of interesting nuances and twists along the way. So look at source number one. This is the second source number one. So Perish Rashi, Al Avos Perik Dala. Rashi is going to give us a few bullet points here. Kol Mechabed Es HaTorah. What does that mean? She'enu Manicha El B'makom Kadosh. V'lo Al Saf Sal She'yoshvim Bo. This is probably related to what Barry, you were saying, although nobody said this explicitly. When it comes to Torah, you have to place the Torah in a good place. You can't just put it on a chair. You can't lie it down on a table unless it's a respectable place where you're putting it. And that's why in shul we have a nice bima, and we put it in an Aron Kodesh, and we dress it up nice and fancy, and we sort of make a whole pomp and circumstance related to just how we treat and where we put the Torah. That's lesson number one, according to Rashi. So you don't put it where other people are sitting. Gam lo Torah al gabe Torah. The other thing you don't do is you don't stack Torahs. That's also disrespectful to Torahs. V'yesh omrim hanota ozen el sefer Torah ve'eno misaper bo chikora chazen bo. Those who listen during Torah reading are honoring the Torah. Those who don't listen to Torah reading during Torah reading are dishonoring the Torah. Okay? So paying attention during laning is honoring the Torah. You don't really need Rashi to say that. That makes sense intuitively. But Rashi says it explicitly here. That's what the Mishnah might be talking about. V'yesh omrim. V'yesh. It was a problem. Oh, remember, we saw last week the Rambam talked about it as well. Right? It's always been a problem. One other option here is that you don't leave the Torah open and then just, you know, go out, grab a coffee, you know, come back. We don't just, and there's an element of this with regular Sfarim as well. You don't leave Sfarim, Sefer Torah or Sfarim as well. There is an idea of closing it, giving it a proper sort of finishing, not necessarily leaving it open. You shouldn't have, you know, tons of Sfarim just wide open. There is an idea about that as well. But for sure, for Sefer Torah, you shouldn't leave the Sefer Torah lying around open. Nobody's there. Nobody's watching it. You being there, you treating it nicely, you listening to the Torah itself are all things, according to Rashi here, that means to honor Torah. Now, he gives another few more explanations. Nusach Acher. V'chol ha-mechaber es ha-Torah she'eno melamda l'talmud she'eno hagu. This is a whole topic on its own. Rashi says one way of understanding honoring Torah is that you don't teach Torah to a student who is not worthy. So now this opens up a whole can of worms. Right? What does that mean that a student is not worthy? What criteria does that have? What? Okay, so can you teach Torah to non-Jews? That's one element of this. What else? An unworthy student? Serving Gamliel says you have to have authenticity, you have to be inside, your inside should be like your outsides. Unclear, there are commentators that bring up Rabbi Gamliel here and say it might not be talking about Rabbi Gamliel. That there might be a difference between an improper student, meaning improper, Talmud Sheino Hagen might be worse than not being Tocho Kabaro. Meaning Tocho Kabaro is you're inauthentic, you don't have great midos, let's say. So Rabbi Gamliel says, you know, we don't want you. That's already a level high, that's like he's getting to the, like sort of the higher level. This is even according to people who don't say like Rabbi Gamliel. Even if you want to say, I'll take a student who's not really fully authentic, who's not really fully has great midos, I'm going to take him anyway, but I'm not going to take a student who's not hagum. Right? We haven't defined it yet. What does that mean to not be hagun, to not be proper? And then again, what do you do with those students whoever we decide is not proper to teach? What happens to them? So, yeah.
Well, I could tell you from experience that I taught quite a few of those that you're referring to.
Well, I don't know what I'm referring to yet, so.
The regular definition of what hagun is, or whichever way you want to prefer define it, all the different parameters, I'm sure they sat in my class over the past 40 years.
Whatever the definition, you had at least one.
Yeah.
In each class.
The way some of them turned out and what they're doing, if I would have said, oh my God, I can't even talk to this person, Divrei Torah, it's not a way to go. Because
you don't know what's going to happen. So basically,
they're in the deformative age.
Right, so you have to look at it. I think you bring out some good points. You have to look at this from a developmental perspective. Right, so you say to the 5-year-old is not he's not a Talmud Sheino Hagun. So obviously that's not true. And there's more sources on this, and obviously there's going to be disagreement no matter what we're talking about. But there's in terms of general behavioral problems, that's not what we're talking about. Are we talking about somebody who's more? What would be the worst possible student that you could have? Meaning, if you want something that it would be hard to argue is a very troubling, problematic type of student, not from a behavioral perspective. What would be a worse type of student that we have to be more careful about? Somebody who's mocking, an apikores, somebody who's going to use what you're doing against you, against Judaism, and he's there. He's out to get you, right?
Someone who disrupts the whole atmosphere in the class, so that not only is he learning.
So I agree that's a problem. I don't know if I'm willing to say that let's not call that Talmud Sheino. That's a problem in a classroom. I don't know if that's a Talmud Sheino Hagun. But now, so let's try to go with the very limited definition of Talmud Sheino Hagun and just put him as somebody or her as somebody who's out to get you, who's trying to manipulate the Torah in order to either try to disprove it or to get people on his side against the Rabbanim, against the Torah. That would be a problem. So now the question is, what do you do with such a student? So the Rashi seems to be saying there is a category of students based on Gemara. There is a category of student that we shouldn't be teaching. So now, look at source number 2, and we're not. You could give a whole shiur on this, and I do. I'll give you a source to look at if you want. If you go to yutorah.org, Rabbi J.J. Schachter once gave a beautiful shiur on this topic about how to teach and what to do about teaching students has to do with Elisha ben Avuya. Learning from, there's a flip of this of learning from teachers who aren't proper. You can look at it from either side, right? So I think his share is focused on that part in terms of learning from teachers who are not proper. But there's a lot of material on this. I'm just going to quote you one source. This is source number 2, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. So this is the Baal HaTanya. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe writes as follows: Ein meladim Torah l'talmud she'eino hagun, ela machzirin oso l'mutav tchila. He says a very powerful thing. Don't teach him Torah, but what should you do? First, get him on your side, right? Don't throw him out and say, forget about you, I don't care about you, you're on the streets, you're off the derech, go figure things out on your own. You're not ready for the classroom for whatever reason, however we're going to define it. You're not ready for the classroom, so let me try to motivate you. Let me try to get you. I'm not going to put you in the classroom, either because you're going to be too disruptive, let's say, even though it is not defined, he hasn't defined it here, or that you're too argumentative, you're too somebody who's out to get you, you're too defensive. Etc. Okay, so you're not hugging. I can't teach you. But I'm not going to throw you out. I'm going to first get you on my side. Wait 1 second. And then he keeps going. Then bring him into yeshiva. And then teach him. Okay, that's nice, but it's not always so easy. So I'm trying. I'm not throwing him out. I'm trying. He's not in the classroom yet. He's not in the base medrash. I'm bringing him into my office, I'm talking to him, I'm having sessions with him, but he's still not budging, still not making a move, he still ain't no hugging. Vudochik likanis alamdo, and it's very hard to get him into the base medrash. I don't want him in the base medrash. So then what do? Do I just throw him out? Do I push him away? No. Te smol docha v'yamin mikarevas. You have to push him away with the left hand and bring him close with your right hand. Smol docha v'yamin mikarevas. What's that a metaphor for?
Turn him around.
Okay, good. So if you Dr. Pelkovitz said this once, I think we did this, and we'll see in a second, with Yoshua ben Prafia, which he's about to reference. This is all in the beginning of the first parak of Perkei Avos. If you just follow through on the metaphor, so smol docha means you're pushing with your left and you're pulling close with your right. So before turning around, what does that mean? By pushing with my left, what's that a? It's a little bit. So I'm pulling him closer, harder than I'm pushing him away, right? The right hand is stronger, so I'm pulling him closer with my right, and I'm pushing him away at the left. So meaning I can't just pull him totally close, because I have to have a little bit of a tough love attitude towards here. I can't just let everything go. There are some rules, there's consequences. So I have to push him away a little bit, but I'm pulling him closer more than I'm pushing him away. And then if you follow the thought experiment here, what literally happens if you do that to somebody? So they turn around, right? So they turn around, and you put them in the right direction. So the Baal Tanya says, so even for a Talmud Shein Ohaga, number one is that you're not throwing him out on the streets. You're with him, you're talking to him, you're trying to motivate him. And even if that's not working, you still don't fully push him away. You still got to have a relationship with him. You still have to interact with him. And he says, velo, as he finishes off source number two, velo ki Yoshua ben Prafa, shedachal ploni b'shtei adayim, Yoshua ben Prafa pushed Ploni. Who's Ploni here? So Ploni means anonymous, but he's referring to Jesus, right? We spoke about this in the, again, must have been, you can look in the Y Torah, sheer 10 or so, where the story is a Shuvan Prophet's student was Jesus, and then he pushed him away too far, too fast. And the critique of him, of Yeshua ben Prafia, was that he shouldn't have pushed him so far away. He should have brought him a little bit closer. Push him with your left hand away, right hand close, and then who knows what would have happened to history after that. Yeah?
The story of Rabbi Zoha, that used to be really bad news, used to organize cars on Shabbos,
right,
to go from Tel Aviv with all his friends to go to Kfar Shabbat and Yerushalayim and throw stones on the phone people.
And you gotta go louder if you're gonna talk.
Yeah, so one day he went to a wedding and he came, shorts and sandals at the wedding of his friend. I know him because he married somebody that I know that became a Baal Tshuva. Then he met Rabbi Sandler and he was sitting there and talking to him, and all he wanted is to fight with him, to fight about everything that he said. And he slowly he decided that this man, he has to conquer this man. He has to win. So he came again and again every week. And then he said, he realized this man not only knows everything that he knows, but he knows Torah also. So slowly he became...
You gotta bring him close. Don't push him away.
Yeah.
Good story. Good reference. Okay. So now let's keep going. So that's we're doing that quickly. You can spend a whole shiur on that, but that's the one idea that we're talking about today. Keep going for source number three. New idea. Rabbi Vadya Bar Tanura Kol Machabed Es Torah Hadoresh Hachaseros VaYeseros SheBetorah Umar Etam Al Kol Coats the coats, Lamar Sha'im Badar, Badabar Labatala. So Bartanura gives a totally different explanation as what does it mean to honor the Torah. Bartanura says that if you're Doresh Chaseros Viyaseros, what's Chaseros Viyaseros? So if you right, it's Torah Shabbat Peh, but is there an extra vav? Is there no vav? When I read a word, I can write it in, with extra letters, with less letters. So you're basically looking at every word and analyzing, should it have been written this way? Could it have been written a different way? Could I have saved the letter, added the letter, etc.? Umar etam al kol kotz v'kotz. What's a kotz v'kotz? A thorn. What's a thorn when it comes to learning? The pieces, if you go to a Sefer Torah, you'll see that in the Sefer Torah, the letters are written with little... coats with little ketarim, with little edges on the top, and there's a famous story in the Gemara Menachos that says Rabbi Akiva in the Beis Medrash was darshaning every single little added part to the letters, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting in the back and he had no idea what Rabbi Akiva was doing. It's a famous story that has to do with understanding what Torah Shabbat Peh is. But the point here for now is that what is being mechabed the Torah according to the Bar Tanura? What are you doing? You're treating it with such great awe and reverence that every single detail is so essential for you, and you have a drive to want to understand it and to learn more. There's nothing that says, it's not important, That's extra. That's superfluous. I don't care about that. You care so much about every detail that you have a strong drive to figure out every single, even the stuff that seems to be on top, superfluous, not needed. We want to be doresh all of those. Ein lecha kavod Torah golden mizeh. That's the best type of kavod Torah. So it gets back to Rachel, what you basically started off by saying with a little more depth. Is that it's learning Torah. It's not just learning Torah. It's learning Torah with such a drive and a passion that you want to understand every detail. Inami, another explanation. Hamechabed Sefer Torah, Mechabed Lomde Torah, Va'oskimba. So he adds being honoring Sifrei Torah, like we spoke about in Rashi. Then he adds a new one that we haven't seen so far, although you guys mentioned it when we were brainstorming before, is that you're Mechabed the learners. You're Mechabed the people who are learning Torah, and being misaskim, living a life of Torah, kol elu b'cham mechabed es haTorahin. All of these are included. We're looking for an expansive definition. You don't have to be so limited and say, no, kibud Torah only means this. It can mean a lot of things. Right? So we have a lot of different options, learning with a lot of depth, with a lot of passion, honoring the Torah itself, and honoring the lomde Torah. That's what the Bartanura says. Look at source number 4. The Meiri gives a totally different explanation. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Kol Mechaber Es HaTorah Shema Ater Osa Binoa Midosav. What does it mean to honor the Torah? It means to learn Torah, to live a life of Torah with good midos. So by me having good midos, that's how I honor the Torah. He elaborates, Shezev Vadayu Kavod HaTorah. This is what Kavod HaTorah is. Biyos lom dea misulso v'naki uval midos nichbados. If I have good midos, and people see that I learn Torah, v'azu mechubar al abrios, and then people will respect and honor me. K'may markas of sasov v'tzor mecha aderach, shebiarnu anu b'lidosenu, b'chibar ha'tshuva. I've spoken about this in other places, he says. Re'isem ploni shalom at Torah, kama na'i ma'asav, kama mitukanim. Look at this person who's learned Torah. He's so great. He's such a good person. Such good midos. Ashrei aviv shegadlo v'ashrei rabo shalom do Torah. Praiseworthy is parents. Praiseworthy is his Rebbe. V'hefech u'behefech. And the opposite is the opposite. If you have bad midos, then you are going to dishonor Torah. Now, what I like about the Meiri's explanation here, just in terms of pshat, how is he different fundamentally from what everything we've seen until this point? And so far we've had what explanations of what Kibud Torah is? We've had Torah itself. Come on guys, let's go. Wake up. Students. Sages. Sfarim. What do all of those explanations lack within the essential message of the Mishnah? Right. It doesn't connect. You're saying you're honoring Torah, so honoring Torah is great. And then there seems to be coming out of nowhere is if you honor Torah, then people will honor you. But there's no connection between what you're doing, honoring the Sefer Torah, learning Torah, and then people honoring you. It's sort of irrelevant. The people, the social aspect, according to what we've done until this point, all the explanations until the Meiri is missing from the explanation. We're just saying honor Torah in whatever way you're honoring Torah, and then magically people will respect you because you honor Torah, they'll honor you. Right? God, maybe I say magically, but I'm saying that we can understand it. Supernaturally, God will say, oh, I'm going to give this person honor because he honors me. I'm going to give honor to him. What the Meiri is doing is he's saying that, no, the social aspect is inherent. The social aspect is inherent in what it means to honor Torah. Because by me living a life of good midos, people are going to look at me and say, I want to be like that guy. I love that guy. I love Torah. Right? So the social element now becomes part of the explanation, which I think makes it a very strong argument for its pshat over here, is that honoring Torah means living a life with midos, because then people will respect me, and people will respect the Torah because of my midos. Okay? So I think that's a very strong explanation. But we have more. Source number 5. Rabbeinu Yonah. So some of this is going to be repeated, but he's going to add a few elements here. So Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol Mechabed Es HaTorah. Deizu Kavod Torah. What is Kavod Torah? Shelo Yaniach Sfarim Bekarkos. This says explicitly what we've alluded to, is that you shouldn't put Sfarim, not just Sefer Torah, but even Sfarim on the floor. Velo Yeshev B'Safsal U'Vekisa Kenegdam. You shouldn't sit on a chair right next to them. B'Shava V'Acharet Al Davrei Torah. And you also, you care about Torah. and the words of Torah, the learning Torah, umechabed osav eslamdeha, and you're honoring the Torah itself, and you're honoring the people who learn Torah. Shadavar yaduahu mehecher chapsukim v'asfarah shenosenes, shekol mi shemedaber tov al atovim v'al hachamim shemuchzakim bo shu tzadik v'chol adanos hamakav chova v'lokech maaseim lomar she'ina mechubanim v'ina rol lios lahem zchus. He's basically saying, he's elaborating on the social power of when we honor Torah, meaning we speak good words, positive words about Torah and the people who learn Torah, then it creates a momentum. It creates a, people want to do that. People want to be involved with that. But if we denigrate, if we don't give the benefit of the doubt, if we critique, and all we do is talk about how bad the drasha was, and how, oh, did you see what the rabbi did here? Or did you see what the Talmud Chacham did here? If everything's just a negative critique, looking at the pessimism, then we will end up denigrating Torah itself. So being positive doesn't mean to throw everything under the rug. Sometimes you have to call out things that are inappropriate. But generally, for things that are not important, we have a choice between being negative and critical of what we talk about, and we can be positive and give a more enthusiastic spin to Torah and to people who represent Torah. It's usually the better move. Uvezeh, continuing here in the middle of the fourth line. Uvezeh lo tistapik ki bezeh davar tuchal lahavfin libos ha'adam upasuk shalem yesh lanu, and he quotes the pasuk. Again, this is a very important thing to do, etc., etc., etc. Go to the third to last line. What does it mean, gufo mechubot ala brios? That my body or myself will be honored by people if I honor Torah. So what does the Rabbeinu Yonah say? Not like the Meiri, at least for what, the way I was presenting it. Min shamayim misayin shechabdu abrios. What does that mean, min shamayim? God's going to help you. Right, so it's a reward. It's not a natural just flowing, like it sounds like the Meiri was saying, that if you honor Torah, meaning you have good midos, people will honor you because they like, people generally like people who have good midos. We're saying, no, if you honor Torah, meaning you treat Torah nicely, you don't put it over here, you put it, you know, etc., then God will supernaturally reward you. This will be your reward, is that people will honor you. It's not an exact sort of naturalistic causation of what you were doing, but it's a mida keneged mida. You do this, you honor Torah, God will make sure that people honor you. Yeah?
Isn't that sort of like in opposition to what we always learn, you know, somebody who runs after kavod, the kavod runs away from him, so why is this considered a reward? In other words, getting kavod from a kavod's baruch,
okay. So that's a good question. So now, so it's a good question for a few reasons, and I think it takes back to how we started off. Is a few layers to this. Number one is, should my goal even, is it even proper for me to motivate you to even say this will be good because you'll get honor, but I don't want honor. Honor's bad. So honor's bad is not the same thing as saying if you run for honor, honor's going to run away from you. So we don't really know. We've spoken about it loosely in the past, but we'll elaborate it when we get to that Mishnah explicitly. We don't really fully understand what the role of honor is yet. We're going to sidestep that for now. But you're right that we may be bothered by, why do I care so much about you honoring me? Why is that even here in the Mishnah? Is that supposed to motivate me? It doesn't sound like that should be a proper motivation. And you're saying even stronger, not only should it not be a proper motivation, I shouldn't even want that. Right? Not that it's like my shalol lishma. If I want honor, oh, I'll honor Torah. And then I'll get honor. No, I shouldn't even want that. Yeah. So it's sort of reciprocal. So I honor the Torah honors me, and when I'm honored by the Torah, then the Torah itself will get honored more. Yeah. Okay, good. Alright, so now, source number 6 is another interesting way of understanding this Mishnah. It's more Alpi Drush, which is important because that's the whole message of the Pesach Ha'inayim, the Chidah, of what the Mishnah actually means. So read this, it's pretty fascinating. It says, Kol Mechabed Es HaTorah, Efshar Di Yadua Shep Pashtei Dinei HaTorah Hein Kemo Guf v'anashama hu sodos haTorah. So he says that if you look at the pshat of laws, pshat of psukim, so that's like the guf, that's the body, that's the physical, you see that, it's sort of like, it's tangible. And then you have the sodos, the secrets, the deeper meanings. And those are not the, that's not physical, that's not the guf. So now he's taking us, the reason why this is adding to what we've seen until this point is because so far we haven't seen any explanation that took into account the fact that the word guf is used. Right? The word guf, as we understand it as being more of a body, nobody said anything that relates to that. So now he's coming and saying, no, there is a message behind using the word guf, body. What's the message behind using the word guf? So if you take the metaphor, the Torah itself also has a guf and a neshama, a body and a soul, if you will. The guf is what you see, the psukim, the explicit, and then there's the deeper neshama, the soul, which is the sod. It's the mystical, or if you want to say the beneath the surface, doesn't have to be mystical, the beneath the surface ideas that aren't seen explicitly. Okay, so that's what he says. Now he says, v'zes shekas of gufei Torah, gufei halachos. So there's gufei Torah, is gufei halachos, the explicit, umiko kemo shekas Rabbeinu Arizal, so the Arizal says this, v'zes shekas of kol mechaberes haTorah, shomer shepshat haTorah, hi kemo guf. V'yeshul Torah neshama, razin ilah, mida kenegen mida, gufav mechubad. So he says, if you have the mindset that there's layers, and I know there's layers, there's the guf and then there's the neshama of Torah, you have your pshat and then you have your remez, drash, and sod underneath that, that's great, that's what we want. We want to motivate people to realize that there's multiple layers, it's not just pshat, it's not just what you see, there's a deeper meaning, there's a deeper message behind everything. That's what it means to honor the Torah, the guf, and then your guf gets honored as well. And what's the flip of that? V'chol mechalas haTorah, what does it mean to desecrate the Torah? But omro she'ein ba ki'im ha'pshat. All there is pshat. Don't bother me with these midrashim, with these sodos, with these, just pshat. Tell me the pshat. That's all I want to know. According to the Chidah, you're being mechal the Torah. You just want to look at the simple, superficial, pshat's deeper than that, but if you want to look at that, only that guf, only what you see, only the explicit, you're missing a ton, and not only are you missing a ton, you're desecrating what the essence of Torah is, because the Torah has both pshat and sod with it. Kima pshat gufo mechulo, ukimosh kasa bezoar, as the Zohar says, etc. So he takes the Chidah takes a deeper explanation here and says that we need this deeper explanation, and that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. Now, is this the pshat of the Mishnah?
No.
Probably not. But the Chidah would say, great, I don't care. It's good to have non-pshats of the Mishnah. There's always deeper explanations and deeper understandings as well. Okay, so I thought that was an interesting spin on this. Now, the Rambam gives us one more explanation here. I know we've seen a lot of them. So the Rambam says, it's a short source number 7, Kavod Torah hu sheyechabed sivueha begiloy zrizus ba'asiyasam. What does it mean to honor Torah? It means to do mitzvos with enthusiasm. Okay, so it's not just keeping the Torah. He's going a step further. It's not just I'm doing mitzvos. I'm being mechabed by doing the mitzvos with enthusiasm. Of course, I have to do mitzvos, but mechabed is an added layer of doing it with zrizus. V'yechabed ha-chachamim noseh, and then, of course, he adds honoring the chachamim, v'asvarim asher chovrubo, and the svarim as well. V'chein chilul Torah hu b'shloshes advarim, and you have the flip when it comes to chilul is the opposite. So you're not doing it with enthusiasm. You're still doing it. You're still doing mitzvos, presumably, but you're just not doing it with that extra strength. That's a problem. The Reben Shoshan in source number 8 doesn't exactly, he's sort of like along the lines of this Rambam's explanation, that kavod here means my motivation / the way I perform mitzvos, takes it and elaborates a step further. I think is a very powerful source. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol mechaberes haTorah. Hamechaberes haTorah, hatam sheyakir, thank you Neil, hatam sheyakir kedaito ma'alaso, v'sikar tiferes gidulaso. I recognize, by meaning mechaber the Torah, I'm recognizing how great and precious the Torah and the greatness of the Torah is. Kiloy archena zahav. V'chol chafetzem lo yishvus. It's quoting some psukim to back this up. V'shiala alibo v'yizkor tamid ki nikres uzo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To remember at all points in time that the Torah is considered the strength of God. So by reminding ourselves of how powerful and important Torah is, that's what it means to be mechabed. The Torah shenemar atav aron uzecha. V'shiizar, he continues, middle of line 4. V'shiizar Azarel Yisera Bechvoda Bechvod Atzma. So you should be so careful about all of the Torah tells us to do. V'kavod Chachamel, V'kavod Sfarez, sort of exactly what the Rambam was saying. Kavod Atzma Ketzat. So what does that mean? How do I honor the Torah itself? Lasok ba tamid kenefesh shokeka ladas es shloma umayaseba. So he's putting together a bunch of ideas that we've seen until this point in terms of how, not just what I'm learning. So I remember from before, the Bartanura says that I'm learning all the details. So he's adding, I'm learning the details, but I'm learning it with such a passion. Kenefesh shokeka. I desire, it's so important to me to learn, and I want to know everything. I want to know what to do. Because by doing it, I'm accomplishing what God, the Creator, wants me to do in this world. And he adds another layer here, is that when I'm learning Torah, I should make sure that my body is proper. Meaning I shouldn't be filthy, I should be dressed nicely, I should... by me, the way my body is, and he's adding that's where the word guf here is important, right? By the way my body is, it's nucky, it's clean, that itself is giving honor to the Torah. Right? If you learn Torah in a place that's not clean, that's disgracing the Torah. V'amakom shlo yev shantinofas, I shouldn't learn in a place that's garbage there, it's dirty. V'chen arbu chachmei ha'emes sha'asel tamar chacham lamak makom ha'tinofas, v'fi she'iyev shar lo v'lo hear her Torah. So the law is that a tamar chacham shouldn't ever stand in a place that's dirty. Why? Because ideally, the Talmud Chacham is always thinking Torah. So he's thinking Torah, and the place is dirty. That's inappropriate. It's like you can't control himself. Halavai, right? You can't control yourself from thinking Torah, and it's a dirty place. So he should avoid the dirty place so he doesn't end up, you know, chas v'shalom, thinking Torah in a place that's dirty. That's a goal. V'sheyikra osa b'simcha. B'simcha, learn Torah with happiness, with joy. That's what it means to honor it, to love it, to desire it, to... adding so many positive emotions here in terms of my motivation. When I say Birchas HaTorah, I should say with a passion, with mindfulness, that I care about this. We say in davening, thank God Hashem created us to honor Him. We love the Torah. The Torah distinguishes us. Etc., etc., etc. I should say it with a passion, with motivation, with intent, with that love, with the joy, with the enthusiasm. That's what it means to honor the Torah. So let's recap. What do we got so far? Honoring Torah, how? Not a trick question.
The actual physical respect of the Torah.
Actual physical respect of the Torah.
Doing mitzvos
with... with enthusiasm, right? So there's that motivation. Besimcha. We have honoring Talmidei Chachamim. We have not teaching students who are not proper. We have not learning in places that are not proper. Anything else?
Yes, our physical place shouldn't be dirty.
Physical place, honoring Sfarim. Depth, not just the pshat. We have the depth as well. Learning, all wanting to learn everything. Not just the surface, learning the kotzim, learning the sodos, etc. Now we're going to take it one step further, flip the page. The Medrash Shmuel. The Medrash Shmuel is going to help tie it into the previous Mishnah, as well as add, I think, an important element here. So let's jump in source number 9. V'efshar lomar, shesamach divar Rabbi Yossi, Bikan Shaba Lechazek Diver Reb Tzadok. So Freddie, your point, Rabbi Yossi is here in order to strengthen Rabbi Tzadok's statement from the previous Mishnah, which was, don't use Torah for your own personal gain. V'zek kilif amim ha'adam rotza lihanos medivrei Torah, kigon lilmod im talmidim b'schar. Sometimes people want to learn and get paid for it, or to teach and get paid for it. Chutzpah. Kedei she'elo lechem lecho, you want bread to eat. Uveget lobos, and food, you have too much materialism here. You want food and you want clothing. Being a little bit sarcastic here. B'choshev, ki gadol kavod abriyo shedoch es lo saseh shebetorah. B'nana medivrei Torah, mechalo kvod b'bnei kvod gufo. But I'm being sarcastic, but he's not. Right? He's saying that, you know, some people go into learning saying that I want to make money out of learning. And the point here is saying is that even just that surface level, I'm not doing this to live in a mansion, I'm not doing it to buy a fancy car, but I'm making money in order to basically support my basic physiological needs, that's still a problem. So he says, V'lachin, Amar Biyosi, ke mechaber esator, ve'eno rotza lega b'chvod olionos mimenu, ala rotza l'chalo k'vod gufo. I'd rather denigrate my own body, v'rotza lios chotev eitzim, I'll go to, out and be a woodchopper, k'de l'chaber esator, in order that I, by me not taking money for Torah, am honoring Torah, v'shol olionos mimena, az HaKadosh Baruch Hu moshech l'avchut shol chesed, v'afilu Biyosi nose saval gufe, mechubad ala brios, v'ashifluso, shemashpilos atzmo, hiag v'aso be'neim, v'gufo mechubad ala brios. People respect that. That's what's going on here, is that you're going to denigrate yourself by saying, I'm not going to take money for Torah, and then everybody around you, even though you're denigrating yourself, everybody around you will respect that, and then you'll become honored because you're denigrating yourself. Again, whether or not that's your motivation or not, we'll put that aside for now. And then he says the flip as well, in terms of denigrating, if you choose to make money for Torah, that's a problem. He continues... But we'll leave it for now. For now, we'll just leave that as proving Freda's point from before, that you could understand the Mishnah from the context of the previous Mishnah as well, and that can inform your understanding, which adds another layer to what Kibud Torah is, means not taking money for learning Torah. Look at source number 10, the Yavetz. I know we're doing a lot of disjointed points, but it all brings together the same general idea. Chaim, what do you got?
Isn't that one of the most beautiful ways to honor Torah? You are making a living by doing what? By sharing your own Islavus for Torah to multitudes of people who are learning from you. How is that a denigration?
Were you here last week?
No.
Okay, so go listen to last week. Go listen to last week.
Okay.
Okay, that's that. The core of last week was discussing the problem of making money from Torah. Your point's still valid, but first listen to last week, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Sorry.
I just
wanted
to discover they are 4 years old. The storm is not looking because I'm learning Torah.
Right. Okay. We're not getting back into last week's discussion, even though I alluded to it. We'll put it to the side for now. Now, this is going to be the last point. These last two sources is the last point for today. It's one more, I think, essential idea. Rabbi Shloni, I think you might have alluded to this beforehand. Let's see the Yaibitz in source number 10. Middle of the first line, after the colon. Ula inyan lashon ha-mishnah. So he says, I think, Tasha Sharamas ba'omro gufo mechubad shnei dvar. The fact that it says gufo is honored, I think there's two things alluded to here. Echad, ki ein ha-pu'ula hazos, kishar ha-pu'ulo shi'akavu ha-to'elas achar ha-asosam. This action of honoring Torah is not like other things where you have a motivation to try to get something from what you're doing. It's fundamentally different. Excuse me. Aval zu be'es ha-sosa, schara im ha-osa osa ufu'ula so lefanav. It's not that I do, usually when I do something, I expect a benefit in the future. It's going to be a good consequence for what I do, and that's my motivation to do it. It says that over here, the reward isn't coming later. What's the schar? The schar is inherent in the action that I'm doing. Oso sa upulaso lefano. Keza kavod ba'adam yosir miyosu mechaber ha-Torah. By me honoring the Torah, it's not that later I will be honored. It's that I myself am being honored right now while I'm honoring Torah. It's one and the same. Me honoring Torah equals me myself being honored. What does that mean? So what's the problem with that explanation until everything we've seen until this point? How have we understood, he's going to flip this on the head, how have we understood that people, that brios will be mechabed you? How do we understand that? That later people will see it and honor you. He's saying, no, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that late, because that means that later there's a consequence. Like, it's not later there's a consequence. Right now it's happening. So what's happening now? It's not that people will honor me. And he says, you don't have to say what these other mefarshim had to force themselves to say. That afterwards people will honor you. That's not what it means. Habez, what does it mean? Ki akavod haTorah b'mkomo omed, v'lo techubad yoser mipnei amechabdim. So, also caveat here, he says, the Torah itself has honor. Regardless of what you do, The Torah has honor. It's a little bit different than we've been saying until this point. Before, especially afraid with your reciprocal explanation, is that when I honor Torah and then people honor me, then the Torah itself gets honored. He says, no, you're irrelevant to the Torah's honor. The Torah has its honor regardless of you. And the Torah itself also is not denigrated when you denigrate it. It's a little bit different than we might think. But what he's basically saying is going, you don't have as much power as you think you do. Torah is stronger and bigger than you are. So us in our smallness, whether we do good or bad, is not necessarily making such a dent in Torah's honor or disgrace. Aval, here's the big five words. Aval, ha-mechabed osa, mechabed, atzmo. This is not about other people honoring you. This is about, this is self-honor. This is something that gives you self-respect by learning Torah. Okay, good. So that's exactly... Right?
On the spot.
On the spot. That's exactly his point. On the spot, you get honored. Not later, you'll get honored by people. On the spot, I get honored. I'm honored by learning Torah. That gives me myself own self-respect. It gives me the honor on its own. I don't care about other people. This is not about other people. This is about myself. Okay? So now, look at source number 11. We'll close with this. Again, I think source number 10 is a powerful source. I think Ikras Moshe here, Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva, he's not dealing with this specific issue per se of the Mishnah, but I think his hakira, we'll see, he's going to try to understand the honor that a Talmud Chacham gets. You can understand in two different ways. Why does a Talmud Chacham, somebody who knows Torah, get honor? Or what are my options? So is the honor because of the content, because of the Torah that he knows? I'm not honoring him, I'm honoring the Torah. Or
his efforts.
Is the honor because of his efforts? So it is him. Right? So are we honoring the Torah or are we honoring the person? What's your gut reaction?
Well, honoring him for his dedication to learning Torah.
So you're saying you're honoring him? So, if you would ask me, I would say you're honoring the Torah. You're honoring the Torah, right?
But it's should be doing it for the Torah.
And nobody knows he's God.
Oh, yeah, but that's a separate question. But the question right now is, if he knows it, and presumably we know he knows it, and we give him honor, is the honor for the Torah or is the honor for him? So I would have, my gut reaction is that I would say the honor is for the Torah. So let's read a little bit. It's a longer tshuva, and I even excerpted part of it, and we're not even going to do the whole excerpt. Let's see what he says, and I'll take your question or comment in a second. So Vitzarech Lomar, the Yeshua Stapik, Bechiyuv Kavo Talmud Chacham. We're not sure, what exactly is it that I have to honor a Talmud Chacham? Shechiyava Torah imak, that the Torah obligated us to honor a Talmud Chacham. Imak Kavod Hu Leha Torah, is the kavod for the sake of Torah? Shekemo b'Torah k'suval sefer tzarich liten la kavod kachayva Torah liten kavod la Torah sheba adam shalamda. Just like I honor a sefer Torah because the sefer Torah has Torah in it, so I'm honoring the Talmud Chacham because the Talmud Chacham has Torah in him. It's like it's written on his soul. It's written in his heart. So I'm honoring the Torah that is in the Talmud Chacham. Aval la adam atzma lo shayach chivul kavod. It's not about you. I don't care about you. I care about the Torah that you know. Oh, that's one side. Second side, da kavod chayva Torah liten la adam shehisig be'amalo bekocho uvikishronosav shenasan lo Hashem yisparach es chachmas haTorah v'lo la Torah shebo v'lo nechshav zebe'en. So he says that, or the other option is that I'm honoring him because he worked hard, he put his effort in, he put his all his talents in. Now, obviously, we're not looking for arrogance here. We're acknowledging it's shenasan lo Hashem yisparach es chachmas haTorah. I mean, Hashem's obviously involved here. We're not going to isolate it and say, you know, we're just honoring that person because he's awesome, he's amazing. You know, let's create a generation of arrogant talmid chachamim. No, it's obviously we're putting God in this. But at the end of the day, it's his effort. It's what he did. He put his talents in. He didn't have to use those, but he did. The lola Torah shabo. It's not the Torah. Why? The lo nechshav zebe'en. It's not like physical. It's not like there's actual Torah there. When you have a sefer Torah, so there's literally Torah there, Right? When we say as a metaphor that Torah is written on my soul, written in my heart, it's not literally there. So it can't be that I'm honoring that Torah aspect of it. Kimo b'ksuva al sefer. It's not literally written on me. Rakla adam shenizkado kokal shesichach mas Torah shivu a Torah v'chayva shetenu la kavod. This guy worked really hard, so we give him honor for the Torah that he amassed. But it's not the Torah; it's the person. And then he goes and tries to bring a back and forth argument here in terms of, can a Talmud Chacham forgive his own honor? Right, so let's say, don't honor me. Leave me alone. I don't want the honor. So there's a dispute in the Gemara. We'll read a little bit, and we're not going to read the whole thing. But let's read a little bit. V'yesh lefaresh zeh, v'tam ha-sa, what it says in the Gemara, that Rava, and the Rava v'hadar amar Rava b'kedushin dimitchila shamar Rava sharav shemachla kvoda in kvodo machul. Rava originally says that a rabbi, a Talmud Chacham, who says don't honor me, we don't listen to him. In kvodo machul, you have to honor him. I don't care what he says. V'dachar rayas Rabbi Yosef to kvodo machul mimasha Hakadosh Baruch Hu machul likare mishum Hakadosh Baruch Hu alma dileu v'torah dileu machul likare v'Talmud Chacham Torah lav dileu. So the first possibility, according to Rava, is that we don't, you have to honor him because, why? What's the reason?
The honor's for the Torah.
The honor's for the Torah. And he can't just say, don't honor it, because the honor's for the Torah. And so then he continues, I suffer shakavu la Torah shabo, ulahadr, but then he changes his mind. Amar Rava shiyachol limcho. He could say, don't honor me, and we listen to him. Mishum the Torah delay, it's his. It's Torah delay. It's his Torah. It's a very powerful formulation. It's his Torah. So we're honoring him. And because of that, again, it's the Torah that's in him, but it's still him. And because of that, he can say, don't honor me. So and because of that remotion, he brings some other ideas and other proofs here. So shakavu la adam al shehisig ba'malah b'kol kushnasav chachmas haTorah v'nechshav machmas et Torah delay. It's his Torah because he put his effort in, put his talents and his powers in it. V'yachol limchol, and therefore he can forgive. He can push it away. Again, he brings more ideas, but I think that at its core is a very powerful idea, and I think it's a nice way of closing. I think it goes well with what the Yavetz is saying, is that the kibud Torah here, that I'm giving the Torah, is not that other people will honor me. I don't care about other people. It gives me kavod. How does it give me kavod? Because now I'm a person who has Torah, who has put in my effort and put in my kishronos. There's an element of me. It's not the Torah, it's me. That gives me the kavod, and that gives me the self-respect to keep going and to feel good about what I'm doing. So there is an element of self here that's an important possible, you can make an argument, it's an important motivation to keep going. It's not about the social aspect, it's not about kavod of others. This might help your question a little bit. It's not about kavod of others, it's about my own self-respect. So that's the way I want to close. We saw a bunch of different explanations. We've recapped them enough times so you can recap them on your own. We'll take a few minutes for questions. I think you're first.
The Yavetz said is not what the Rishon said. The Yavetz said if you learn Torah and you have Torah, you will respect yourself. You get, but here the Rishon said you are being respected.
Well, that's how the translation is. I think he would argue, perhaps, that al habrios means, I think what he's saying is that means on yourself. It might be a little bit of a stretch, but it doesn't mean, don't get fooled by the translation of by others. He's saying that it doesn't mean others, it means for yourself. That happens to be, we skipped it in the Medrash Shmuel, where he says that, what does it mean al habrios? He says that it's even on animals. It's not just people, but even animals will respect you. I think it's interesting, and you could explain it in a number of different ways, but I think it's an interesting way of looking at it as well. But Brios doesn't just have to mean people. You can reinterpret it based on however you want, I guess.
I don't think you can separate the two, because there are many people with a tremendous number of power, tremendous number of effort, and whether they're not really coming to the humming, or they're not recognizing coming to the humming, or the effort is there, it will work the same for the others. There are some who are just innately very brilliant and able to recall. They learn everything and it's there, and they're very and they're open about, you know, like that they have all this stuff, but it's more a question of what do you do with it? It's only those who put in that effort and have the ability to work with it and are able to transmit it further. Because the guy sitting in the corner of the call lab, doing tremendous effort and learning, who knows about it? knows what he's done. He knows his work. But in terms of, for us, honoring the Torah through honoring Talmidei Chachamim, it's only for those who are learned, able to transmit in such a way, and they don't do it in an arrogant way.
I hear it. It doesn't have to be a...
You can't separate anything. It's all
well, you could. I think you could separate it. You did separate. You're saying that it depends who we're talking about. So depending on who you're talking about, you can explain it in whichever way you want. But it's a fair... There could be reciprocal elements here as well. But I think each one has some value on its own that you could understand it on its own. But your point's taken. Yeah. You're just doing what you're doing, right? So, and I think your point is, even if we're saying it gives you that self respect, it's still not about arrogance, right? It's about just that your mission, and that feels good, and that gives you a drive, and that's good for your own self and your own mental health or etc. But it's not about, look, I'm awesome, I'm great, I put in a lot of work here, yeah.
I don't mean to sound heretical, but this approach...
Everybody close your ears.
This approach could also be used for some, any great scholar, and any work of scholarly... any work of real scholarship. We have the same kind of dynamic going on. Sam Schiff, who everybody knows is a real scholar, did an incredible amount of work on William Blake and the poet William Blake, and how he regarded some Jewish, especially Birkas Kohanim. There's an entire body of work connected to it, and Sam Schiff sort of like embodies this whole scholarship. So do we say that the same kinds of dynamics that you're talking about regarding Torah, they don't apply to this level of scholarship because it's not Torah? Or do we say the same kind of dynamic applies here too?
What do you think the answer is?
That it applies here too.
I don't think so. I mean, nothing against any particular person, but there's levels. It's not. I'm not saying not to give sort of awe and respect to people who have brilliance, but to us, Torah is important. The hierarchy. I mean, you could be awed and respect sports players because of all the effort and time. Honestly, I think real expert sports players, athletes, put more time and effort and hard work into what they do than most other people do at anything. So do I honor and respect them for their grit and their motivation and getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning every morning and doing hours and hours and hours of ruthless practice and critique with their coaches? Sure, but it's still not Torah. Maybe we should be doing that with Torah as well. But it's not. It depends what you're amelim for. So that you can respect and honor somebody's hard work, and you could even respect and honor the product of that work. But it's never going to be the same. Get to the same level.
And if what somebody is doing is purely for chesed,
sure. Chesed's Torah.
Do we say that's not quite the same as harving over a block tomorrow?
Now you're bringing up questions, what's more important, Torah or chesed? Okay, we've spoken about it before.
I guess I was.
Yeah, you were. Okay, last point, 2 points, then we'll go. Yes.
Make it quick. This just brings to me the story about Yaakov Ginsburg, who was Yaakov Yosef, Jacob Joseph, RJJ, who came over as the first chief rabbi in New York in the late 1800s. And here's a man that came over with his Torah, and the people denigrated him because of his Torah. He tried to implement stricter and more rigorous observance of laws, and they were actually denigrating him. So how do you explain something like that? He didn't want to come. They told him to come. And when he finally gets here and he tries to implement following proper Torah, halacha, mitzvos, the people made fun of him, and they abused him, and he wound up sick, and he died, and then at his funeral, all of a sudden they all walked up and said, oh my gosh, what did we do? What did we do? Look what we've just lost. So how do you explain that?
So how do you explain it?
I don't know. That's why I have trouble with it.
obsolete. So he wasn't going to be respected, and he was considered an outcast.
Right. So, but sorry, the answer is the same answer as anything we learn about. This is talking about, for the most part, and most of the times, this is the way it works. There's obviously exceptions to every rule, and not every Talmud Chacham is going to be respected, and there could be, you could be set up for failure in various different situations. It's a bad fit. It happens. Why did God do it that way? Okay, so we get into a theodicy question. Any mission we do, it's not, this is the rule, it has to happen. Well, that's not what the Meiri said. That's the opposite of what the Meiri said. The Meiri said it's naturalistic. That's the mitos. Either way, laser, last point. Yeah.
I am just, when is the balance? We are learned and we do it. When a Talmud Chacham Rav walks in the shul, everybody stands up. And the other, on the opposite side, when is the proper way to decline? Like say a rabbi could walk in the shul and sit in the back row, not to walk in the front of the shul. So where is the balance?
Where's the balance?
Can you demand respect?
Can you demand respect? So I guess that, I think that depends on the person and the personality. You know, they're definitely, and the question is, to what point from a chinuch perspective do you demand respect on a developmental level? You know, do you introduce yourself as rabbi to everybody or not? Are you doing with kids? Do you introduce yourself as a rabbi? So I think it really it depends on the person, depends on the context, but
because
fair point. Could be, and there's stories of do you go out of your way to avoid that? Sure, different, slightly different, related topic, but not for today. Okay, we'll call it a day. In terms of moving forward.